children. What are we gonna do to show we care? How are we gonna be there for our children when they feel that life has just not been that fair?
Good evening and welcome back to MASC's weekly radio show on Family Matters. MASC, Mothers and Fathers Aligned, saving kids, kids of all ages and all stages for all mental health issues, including school issues, addiction. If there's any referral that you may need for your loved one, whether it's your child, yourself, a married child, your spouse, relative, feel free to call MASC, Mothers and Fathers Aligned Saving Kids. Our confidential number is 718-758-0400. You may want to jot it down. I'll repeat it. Our number again, 718-758-0400. Tonight, I'm really, really, really very happy to have on with us a dear friend, a colleague, somebody that has worked with MASC, has done parenting programs in the past, and also trained professional therapist for MASC. We did this a few years ago, and I'm so glad to have you back. And that is none other than the Nurtured Heart Approach founder, Howard Glasser. I'd like to welcome you on tonight. How are you?
I am great, Ruchama. This is wonderful. And I love your organization and what you're doing. So it's a pleasure to be here with you.
Thank you. Always nice to speak with you. Haven't seen you. It feels like a long time since we were on Ocean Parkway doing the last event. So let's get right to it. Howard, you're the author of 15 books, including Transforming the Difficult Child. And you're a keynote speaker in treatment and education. And you came out with The Nurtured Heart. I'd like you, please, to give us a little bit of the background of your life, your career as a family therapist, and how the Nurtured Heart approach evolve out of your work, please.
I'll give you the short version. I grew up in New York. I went to City College and NYU, and I was zooming through my doctoral program, and I decided I was going to live my childhood dream before I signed on to do my dissertation. And I took a year off to become a woodworker, cabinet maker. One year turned into 15. So I never completed that, even though I was, loved my clinical psych studies and all that. And I came back and just as a entry level family therapist, got a job in a clinic that served these kids, kids who were in trouble. Kids who were challenging, and I innocently encountered family after family after family who were in dire straits trying to help their child, just as the families you serve. And they were typically already trying as hard as they could, giving normal advice. And I encountered them with all the methods I had studied, all the beliefs, all the philosophies, all the practices. And I noticed that having had so much time away from the field, I had fresh eyes. I was able to see that my advice actually was not serving them. My advice was actually maybe more the same of what they had already been trying, normal conventional approaches. And what I noticed was that there were some things they said that would align themselves and energetically draw their kids in, unbeknownst to them. And there were some things they said, unbeknownst to them, that would push kids away. They might have thought they were saying something really wonderful and exciting and beckoning. And meanwhile, the child was growing further disconnected. And I started waking up in the middle of the night with ways of encountering that goal that I believe they had, which was to really get reconnected with their child and how to use that energy. And I'll give you an example for your audience that I think will make sense. We all so believe in respect. We want our kids to be respectful. We have that as a universal goal. And when do we normally bring up the word respect? You know, we have busy lives, but we're never too busy for an issue or a problem. When disrespect emerges, we typically get, you know, we enter in full force. We get alive and excited, and we have so much to say. And you know, whether it's our reprimands or our lectures, you know, we really show up. As in contrast, when kids are being respectful the majority of time, when they're not being disrespectful, which is the majority of time, there's very little we say. Maybe we try our best to be thoughtful, but we say good job or way to go. But when disrespect happens, we become poetic. You know, we have a very explicit language. Good job and thank you are well-intentioned, but they're inherently vague statements. So my work became, how do we reintroduce to kids what we value about them, what we find meaningful in them, what we really want to pour our relationship into, as opposed to what we don't want to pour our relationship into, what we refuse to give energy and connection to, and get very clear about where the line is. So that's how, thank you for that beautiful question. I'll give you an example, Rithama, that reveals your great heart. That question reveals your desire for your audience to have some background of my work and understanding of my work. And I hopefully have given you an example that resonates with your community. And
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So on your website, I just want to read a sentence that you have to open up about Nurtured Heart. It says, if we dig up the past and do all we can to understand why things went wrong, we'll know what to do to fix it. And if we don't go through that process of digging through the past, we'll never solve the problems of the present. So I'd like to go right into the introduction to the Nurtured Heart approach. If you could, for my listeners, explain what is it and what type of children is it originally designed to help? Is it a difficult child? Is it an intense child? Can you elaborate on how this works, please?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I've come to really like the word intensity. I really feel like some people will say, well, my child can be challenging at times, they can be difficult at times, but they're not really a difficult child, but they're really intense. And I think there's maybe there's, you know, a whole variety of definitions, formal definitions of what intensity is. To me, it's simply that there are some kids born to this world with more life force. You know, we live in a world where it would be easy to arrive at a conclusion that intensity is the enemy, you know, that we want to throw a blanket over our kids' intensity and make it go away. And that's what's led a lot of people in around the world to medications, which moderate, give an appearance of moderating intensity. But if you think about it, before medications kick in the morning or after they wear off in the afternoon, the problems are still there. There's been no healing. So my approach is really, how do we encounter intensity in the here and now? You know, not having to analyze the past at all, actually. And how do we encounter a child making choices throughout the day vis-a-vis their intensity that lead them to a new conclusion that their intensity is a gift? That, you know, one of the remarkable things about my work is I noticed a month or so into working with all the challenging families that came my way over the years, that the same intensity that was driving people crazy in the beginning was actually the very same energy and intensity that was lighting up their runway, that was the source of their greatness. And I like to pick on kids, so to speak, to highlight, showcase for them. Here's you making a great choice. You gave your sister space to do her homework. She's been struggling to get her homework done. It's been very hard for her. And you may not realize it, but you didn't make loud noises as you were creating a snack in the kitchen and as you were doing things in your room and navigating some things with your brothers. You were giving your sister respect. You were showing responsibility. That was an act of loving kindness. So I like building a child's inner wealth. I am a big believer that if we build kids' accumulative inner wealth, that they then become generous in their spirit, and they then start acting out greatness instead of nonsense. So that's a little bit of explaining nurtured heart.
Now, What psychology traditions does it build on, and how does it converge from traditional approaches to helping youth or with problematic behaviors and their family? Mm-hmm.
You know, what a great question. I feel like my biggest struggle, and you know, there have been actually people who looked at my work and compared it with other existing platforms and beliefs and philosophies. And my biggest struggle, having had a traditional education in psychology, was flying in the face of what was out there. I felt embarrassed at first to give talks. I felt I didn't want to write about what I did or share it with anybody because people would think I'm a lunatic and that I'm irreverent to traditional approaches. So, you know, I feel again and again when somebody, you know, contacts me and says, have you read this book or have you come across this approach? And I've read, while I was forming Nurtured Heart Approach and experimenting with it when my daughter was, you know, coming of age, growing up, I purposely didn't read any other approaches because I was so fascinated with how do we ride the waves of energy? How do we use the exchange of connection between human beings and take advantage of interaction? There's so much opportunity to be appreciative that people don't realize. And so I stayed away from other approaches. And then, you know, when I finally wrote that first book that you mentioned, I had to do a comparative study of the important books in the field and mine. And I realized that very few approaches, if any, have a real grasp of the underbelly of how I think kids read energy. I think underneath the river of all the things we say to kids, all the things we think that will inspire them and move them, you know, all the loving messages and all the harsher messages, underneath all that, kids glean the energy that transpires. So if I'm a kid and my parents speak to me, you know, spend 5-10 minutes with me every time I'm annoying, but when I'm not annoying, they get on with their business, I start reading the energy of, oh, my parents say they don't like me being annoying, but they actually love me being annoying because that's when they hang out with me. That's when they give me the gift of them, as opposed to when I'm not being annoying, they don't show love. They don't show up. You know, kids translate energy of interaction as love. So I come to feel more valued when I'm being annoying. I come to feel more meaningful innocently. Nobody means that on purpose. Nobody would give a kid a $100 bill for acting out, but we accidentally do it all the time. And so I'm a fan of turning that on its end and doing the opposite. And I frankly don't know of any other traditional approaches that adhere to that.
Right. Let's talk about ADHD for a minute. Because these behaviors is one for which the nurtured heart is often used. And your website says what appears to be ADHD is often simply a habitual response by the child to his environment. Can you explain what you mean so that my listeners could then open up their mind to new ways of dealing with children with ADHD?
Thank you for that. And if you remind me, I'll send you a link for your website if you'd like about the results of a study at the University of Arizona Zuckerman School of Public Health, where we showed that a mere online class, a parenting class over the course of 6 weeks, was a game changer, took ADHD symptomatology and turned it into positive behaviors where ADHD was negligible. You know, the reason I'm very careful in how I worded what you read, Ruchama, thank you for that, was that I don't want to imply blame. I believe everybody is simply doing the best they can with what they know. And they are, if anything's to blame, it's the methods we have at our disposal. Everybody's just trying, and when it doesn't work, they try harder, and when it doesn't work, they try harder. And unfortunately, they keep upping the ante of the opposite effect. They keep, if my child is not responding to my level one interaction when it comes to disrespect, when the next time they're disrespectful, I speak louder. I speak more fervently. I speak with more, you know, zest and implication. And so the child then picks up more of the unintended effect of, oh, my parent really, really shows up when I'm disrespectful. They must love me being disrespectful. So, you know, it almost, what I hope is eye-opening to your audience is that there is a very unintended effect of normal styles of parenting. And this this different approach called the nurtured heart approach is really a way of taking advantage of the desire in our hearts to transform our child to using their life force well. That's I think people truly, if you've ever seen a parent yell at a child or be distressed by a child, it's only because they have a deep, deep abiding desire in their heart to see their child come to their senses and do the right thing. And I think that's what people really want. So I want to give people like the tools and the understanding to take advantage of all the times when nothing is going wrong, but actually while nothing's going wrong, there's so much going right. There's so much time to talk to the child and say, you know what, you're being, Zev, you're being compassionate right now. You're being thoughtful right now. Here's something you may not realize right now is you are, I see you struggling with your work, your schoolwork, but you're not arguing and you're not fussing and you're following the rules and you're being kind to your siblings and to your mom and dad. That is so meaningful to us. So give the lectures when nothing's going wrong, but imply all the things that are going right. That's what Nurture Heart is really about.
Right. And Nurture Heart is like, it's a set of strategies, right?
That's a good way of, it's a set of understandings. It's right. A set of contentions and it's a set of strategies. That's a great way of putting it. Thank you for that.
And let's go to Nurtured Heart's approach evolved over the times, over the years. I mean, Mask, we're doing this 23 years, and I've watched so many different programs evolve. I'd like you to share, how did it evolve over time from parenting tools into something that now is integrated in mental health systems, institutions, in foster cares, in juvenile justice globally?
Well, thank you for that. You know, I'm very excited that the state of New Jersey adopted Nurtured Heart for the central theme of its system of care, meaning all mental health facilities, all residential treatment, group homes, all programs for foster and adoptive kids, and beyond that, more. We're based on Nurtured Heart approach. So there's been at least 500 people trained to as certified teachers of Nurtured Heart approach that have come along in the state of New Jersey. And that's shown us that so much can be gained. You know, what I'm hoping for is that instead of kids in the foster system being lost causes and winding up in jail and winding up in dire straits, wind up being great young people who have great lives. And I think 5 years now into it, we're showing that. So yes, it's come a long way. We are starting something new called the Nurtured Heart Institute soon coming, which is going to take upon itself relationship issues with adults and leadership issues and corporate issues. You know, we're looking at expanding how Nurtured Heart is used. It did come about primarily for challenging kids, but it showed itself to be useful in a wider array of children. You know, I wrote a book once upon a time called All Children Flourishing, because I noticed that people who, especially educators, who took it from just focusing on challenging kids to all kids, saw a spike in how their kids responded well. I am now doubly devoted to seeing Nurtured Heart Approach get out into the world, and it is now much bigger than its original focus of intense and difficult children.
Wow. So if anyone is interested in a parenting course of Nurtured Heart, please contact us so that we can then put it together as small groups to learn the Nurtured Heart approach. And our number again is 718-758-0400. Let me just ask you, how has Nurtured Heart being adapted during COVID when people are staying home as much as possible? Let my listeners know the importance of not giving up and working towards helping their loved one, even though we're all home.
You know, that's a brilliant question. That link I will send you shows that an online study really, an online class really worked. And what a lot of people, I know in the Orthodox community, a lot of people have become certified trainers and they've yep. taught online classes. And I'm so excited to hear some of the results that some of the people we know in common have shared about their online classes and the effect, the impact they've had. And so I do believe that for the time being in COVID times that, you know, we need to take heed of whatever we feel and what our community feels we need to do for safety. And the good news is it doesn't have to be in-person classes. It doesn't have to be in-person sessions with a counselor or a coach even. It could be all of this can be easily accomplished online. There is no reason whatsoever any of it has to be in person. So hopefully that's a good
Absolutely.
News. You're welcome.
Yes. And let's just put it out there. The book, Transforming the Difficult Child. You can get all of Howard Glass's books online. And we're running out of time. I want to thank you so much for being on again. It was wonderful speaking with you. And I do hope to get to see you in person soon.
I hope so too. And you are a beacon of light for your community, and you so deeply care about the well-being of and the mental health of your community. You're a shining light and an inspired person, and I applaud you.
Thank you. And let me wish everybody a very good evening, a beautiful Shabbos, and remember, if you want to have a Transforming the Difficult Child, the Nurture Heart Approach group going in your neighborhood, your friends via Zoom, feel free to give us a call, 718-758-0400. And always remember, hang in, hold on, and virtually for now, hug tight. Tonight's show is Lezech Nishmas, Rivka Bas Yisroel. Thank you. And please go on to maskparents.org and donate. Be our partner so we can continue bringing you these wonderful guests and wonderful programs for your communities. Thank you and have a good night.
Did you ever consider being on the radio or hosting your own radio show? Now Talkline is giving you the opportunity to produce your own daily or weekly radio program. Primetime airtime is available at very affordable and competitive rates. We're looking for independently produced or organizational programs of interest to the Jewish community in the areas of Judaica or Jewish interest, music, news, talk, legal, medical, or financial. Introductory charter rates are also available for advertisers. For more information, contact the Talkline Broadcasting Corporation. at 212-769-1925. Again, that number, 212-769-1925.